See, I think the one guy who can really kill us is O'Garran.
And probably like the greatest Munster player of all time. Like, I mean, we all, the grow up, anyone from Munster has for O'Garran is just incredible. Like, so I love to see O'Garran get a win. Like, you
so
know.
Who are you shouting for then?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Hello and welcome back to House of Rugby URC. We've been away for the last few weeks, guys, but we're back now with the full crew together and plenty of rugby to look back on. Greg, how are you?
Jason, I'm great. Great to be back in the studio. How are you?
Not too bad. Don't you miss me?
I did miss you, yeah, and I miss Lindsay as well.
Oh, thanks.
Did you miss us, Lindsay, did you? Yeah.
Of course I missed you. The gang's all here. The gang's back together.
Yeah, me and Lindsay actually saw each other at the RPI Rugby Players Ireland Awards the other day. So
yeah, I couldn't get in to say even hello to them, the crowds of people.
Up in the VIP balcony somewhere, was it?
VIP and just surrounded by red tape.
Not
at all.
I was trying to pay it cool. I was like...
No, I just had to go along to collect Terry Kennedy's award. That's how you know when you're retired and old, is when you're collecting awards for other people.
I know. I got to collect Eve Higgins, one of her four awards or something. So
yeah.
Maybe she might donate a watch to me.
She was nominated for everything.
Yeah, she did a fantastic season, 17 yeah. 15.
So Eve Higgins. When I suppose if you're dominating 15s and 7s, like, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Has to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? And you can't even envy her. She's just too nice. Mm. That's the terrible thing.
Oh, did you go up to anything else over the last 2 weeks while you were away from this lovely studio?
We had our club awards, so that was on the Friday, last Friday, so that was a good old night with Rail Union. So a couple of awards there and 100 cappers, so it was really nice. And it was good to be back out with people, actually. I forgot how long it was.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we had the RPI, it was good.
You were back playing basketball as well, aren't you?
Stop, yeah, I can't move today, lads. I only played a couple of hours ago. I played a Masters tournament, so it was over 40, so I played with the Wild Rovers and... It was good to be back. I forgot my anaerobic training is lacking. So, yeah, my lungs are on fire. But, yeah, it was good to catch up with the old school.
Great stuff. Did you guys identify yourself?
Nothing too crazy, no. I kind of was over in London for a bit of work, doing a bit of presenting and kind of brand work over there. But it's good to be back in the studio. You were in Spain, weren't you?
I was over at a wedding over in Spain, so it was lovely.
Yeah.
It looks good.
A bit of a tan, but it's kind of seemed to be fading away now again, like, but... Hopefully you'll get it back now in Marseille this weekend.
Yeah, 100%.
Stay out in the sun celebrating Leinster's fifster.
Look, we'll get into it. So I know you want to get into it. We're obviously going to start with the big game over the weekend. Top of the table, kind of a Interpro derby clash. Well, not so much top of the table in terms of Munster. But yeah, Leinster C 35, Munster 25.
Leinster C. Would you say it was their C team?
That'd be in a half anyway.
I think that people are going around saying that yesterday. I was at the game. You know, the people were saying Leinster C team. I was like, that's harsh on the guys that are on the pitch. And I'd say the Leinster guys nearly had a chip on their shoulder being like, everyone thinks we're the C players, so let's go out and just pummel Munster, which unfortunately they did.
I was impressed with them. I think the first half was cracking. It was like a really open, expansive game. It was like toe to toe. There was some good tries, like Frawley's cross kick for Penny's first try, a minute 25 in the clock. I was like, holy Lord, this is great. Then Jack O'Donoghue, who's obviously, he's up for try of the week, won the nominees. So I just thought it was a great game. And I actually thought myself, with the youth that Leinster had put out, I was like, maybe their inexperience would tell in the end. And yeah, we closed out. Like Rory Loughlin's try, the build-up, Larmer was back, his footwork. Like all I could picture when I was watching the game was like, you know, like the noise of a car, like speeding off again. I was like, wow, he's back. So I just thought we played with no inhibitions, and I think maybe the lack of experience and they've nothing to pitch against, they just didn't really play within themselves, just kept the script and plugged away. And
it's just such a strong squad, you know what I mean? Like they've got 50 guys there that are just, and unfortunately for Munster, as we saw against Toulouse and as we saw against Exeter, when they've got the majority of their top names available, they're a good team at times and they play some good rugby, but... Peter O'Mahony having him missing the weekend, like as we saw when he went off against Toulouse, made a huge difference.
Yeah,
Munster can't really afford to lose those three or four players.
The three massive players are missing. Yeah. Peter O'Mahony, Byrne was missing. Delande was missing.
Yeah,
they're three massive players. I know we're clutching at straws here.
No, but you're right. Yeah, Leinster can do that. Leinster can lose a Henshaw, or they can lose a Van der Fleer, or they can lose a Doris. But
yeah,
the guys they've got coming in are
we need our best guys playing if we're going to beat Leinster.
Yeah.
Well, but I think with the Leinster, everyone's saying B team, C team, whatever it is, the second string guys, But you have to remember, week in, week out, these guys train against the Leinster A team. So they're used to going up against the Josh van der Fleers, the Johnny Sextons, the Gary Ringroses. So like their level of training is just so much higher than every other team in Europe. Every Tuesday, every Thursday, there's Stuart Lancaster screaming at them. So you have to remember, these guys are unbelievably they definitely weren't worried going up against Munster, like, you know, just go out and perform. And they also had nothing to lose as well, which is a very safe place to be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They had their home quarterfinal. None of them are probably expecting to get into European final teams. It's like, let's just go out and play. And they did.
They absolutely did. And they looked like they were enjoying themselves. Do you know what I mean? Some of the offloads, I think McCarthy's offload, as I said, for the O'Loughlin try, like, he's like being held up and he still had the confidence just look and, like, you know, move the ball. Max Deegan as well, just on the cusp of being tackled.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they were really confident and they looked like they were enjoying themselves. But I think it's testament to Lancaster and Leo Cullen now to be able to keep a squad of 50 men happy. That when they come in, like the likes of Ed Byrne, who's, you know, sat on the outskirts, and he comes in and he does a job. Like,
he was given captaincy as well.
Yeah. Which is, like, kind of cool. You know, then you've Cronin is over 200 and odd caps, Devin Toner, the same thing. So they come in and there's no drop in standard or calibre.
No.
So to keep that level of intensity and investment for 50 guys is, I think, testament to the culture that they've built. And I know we kind of chuck this around, but you know yourselves, have been in high performance, like, to keep all the egos happy, you're like, that's good. Like, it is good.
Yeah, they're definitely doing something right there.
Hugely.
Yeah. I was really, really impressed with Jordan Larmour as well. He seems to be back to where he was when he first broke onto the scene. I could only remember, he made about 13, he beat 13 defenders, I think, on the weekend. But what I remembered was his try in Thomond Park. Do you remember when he ran around the whole Munster team and scored in the corner and Zeebo chased him down?
Yeah.
And just about...
That was his moment when he broke onto the scene, like, and no one knew much about him. Like,
exactly.
He just did that and you're like, whoa.
That was back then. And now he's back to do it in that form again, which is so exciting for Irish rugby. Like,
who do you drop for him?
But
I mean, you don't drop Hughie Keane at Leinster or Ireland for him. You look at the wings. James Lowe is playing the best rugby of his career. Matt Hansen's still there. Jimmy O'Brien is still there. Balakoon is still there.
An informed Larmour, and you can't even get him in this. Like, is he... Will he go to New Zealand?
I think you have to. Now that you have the two Maori games as well, that's finally been confirmed. You've got five games over New Zealand. You're probably looking at, like, that's like a Lions tour, essentially. Like, you're probably going to bring a squad of 45 players, maybe.
Yeah, but I think now just try and adapt his game. I'd like to see him a fullback, and then obviously he gives an option on the wing. So that you know, he's two string to his bow there with that. But what I did like as well about him yesterday, when he made, like, he ran over 200 metres, you know, he beat so many, what, over
13
defenders, wasn't it?
13 defenders to beat, yeah.
Normally we've seen him where he's made that break and he's done all the great work, but then he's kind of got isolated and turned over the ball. But he didn't do that yesterday, and I was like, okay, this is a man who seems to have taken his opportunity. Yes, he's come of age. And I think that was key yesterday, because obviously like Ken Dellen and you know, your back row was still very good. You still had some turnover specialists there that were on show yesterday. So I was like, if this fella gets isolated, all that good work's down the drain. So I thought, yeah, I was impressed with him. I was impressed with Scott Penny as well. He's another guy who... He was out there in the wing. He had a nice finish. Normally, he's just like bundling himself over. His chop tackling, I thought, was credit. Yeah. Ryan Baird, like, what an athlete.
Yeah, Scott Penny did take his try very well. Baird had another unbelievable game. Yeah. I was really impressed with Kieran Frawley until he went off as well. And I was like, okay, here's a little chance for us now. Kieran Frawley's gone off. Just brought on another unbelievable Leinster player. Like, you just can't compete with them.
Yeah.
I think, though, when you look at the game as a whole, like, you know, I mean, Murray got that lucky try just after half the time, but then they got that penalty try and then that second try. And as soon as they went behind, the heads dropped. And, you know, Leinster don't have to win this game. Like, Munster needed to win that game to get a home quarter final. And now they've got to go up to Kingspan to take on Ulster. But for your heads to drop in the last game of the regular season, when you're like, it's not like they all of a sudden were 20 points behind. Like, they were only a score behind.
Yeah.
And they just fell flat and they were kind of like, okay, we've lost now.
Exactly. Well,
especially when they had more stake. What did you think of the penalty try?
I don't know. It's a tough one.
Kind of harsh. It was kind of harsh. And Niall Scannell then going off was, like, he's again one of the more experienced players. It's your hooker. You know, your set piece was probably key to beating us yesterday. You know, when the game was open and expansive, it suited Leinster. But you probably needed to... Well, I know, listen to Marcus Horan on the commentary. He wanted, like, Munster to speed it up. But I think game management, when they need to slow it down, when we were close, you know, in the 22 or close to the Leinster's line, then they would have needed the big guys. But
yeah, I think Munster started well as they came out with the Jack O'Donoghue try, which we'll see later for try of the week. We have Mike Haley had a really good try, really,
really good
smart.
Pick, yeah.
But then, as you said, when Leinster started to get their two or three scores, there was just a complete lack of energy. Yeah. It seemed like the Munster lads didn't know. They were all looking at each other. Who's going to take the ball on here? Murray was taking 2-3 seconds at the ruck, looking for someone, shipping it off to like a Jeremy Lachman, who's class, but like, do you know what I mean? That's not creative. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Where Leinster are just so like around the corner. They have their systems. Yeah. They're going. They know what they're doing. And this is a second string team where Munster were like throwing balls on the ground. Yeah. He was epitomised by Ursy throw the ball on the ground at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, and Carberry overthrew it as well.
Yeah, and I was like,
it's like, it's like the last time. Remember the time they came out to Stone Park and you were going absolutely giving out yarns about them, like just completely just kind of losing their heads and just going, all right, we're doing this and throwing passes here and putting these stupid kicks in behind. And you're like, what are you doing? Just relax. Okay, you're still in the game. Do you know, go back to basics. What's the game plan? Okay, what can we do? What can we do?
There was one stage I was watching it and I was like, the whole Munster team, all 15 players were on the one side of the pitch. And I was like, as a system in a professional team, that never happens. No. Like, that doesn't happen in school rugby. You know, it's like, there's something going on here, guys. There's no one taking the bull by the horns here. Yeah. Just getting everyone chill out. Let's sort this out. Like, I think they just, could you say the occasion got to them?
Well, I was just going to say, is it, without being now offence, because I know you're like, Lindsay's digging the knife in here, but do you think it's psychological with Leinster and Munster?
No, I would think, I think it's a bigger problem. It's an, yes, there is a certain issue there with Leinster because it's been so long since they've, like, they don't get many results off them anymore. Yeah. But the issue at the moment, I think Johan van Gaan is already in bat and he's been in bat for the last few months. You know what I mean? You can see his comment stuff after the game. It was kind of like, you know, oh, look, that's how the season went. And you're like, all right, yeah.
You think it's a Johan van Gaan
problem? I think it's a problem where, like, you know, there's just a lot of issues there. Like, there's Johan van Gaan's going to be leaving, JP Ferreira is going to be leaving, a couple of other guys are going to be leaving at the end of the season. You're going to have a new head coach coming in, you've got a new backs coach coming in, you've got a new forwards coach coming in.
Yeah.
Sooner the season is over, most you can get back to the drawing table in the summertime and start with a new system and start building up again, I think, because this season is just...
I don't think all hope is lost just yet, no, Jason.
To be honest with you, they have a chance of beating Ulster. I don't think they have a chance of winning the URC, if I'm honest with you. I really don't. And there's no point in saying that. Mm. You know, because if you get a semi-final or a final against Leinster in Dublin, it's going to be the same again. So what's going to happen?
Is that how it lines up if we beat Ulster?
I'm not sure on the line, but if Leinster gets through, Leinster have a home quarter, semi and final. And I don't see them.
Eventually have to play Leinster again. But like, I think Munster have an opportunity to beat Ulster up there. I think Munster have been playing well up until last week, obviously, we just saw. But up that, they were getting good results. They're playing well. They're scoring lots of tries. Second most tries scored in the league. Second most points scored in the league as well after Leinster, I believe. So they're a good team. So they could go up to Ravenhill or Kingspan, whatever it's called now, get the win. Yep. And then a semi-final URC, that's a decent enough way to kind of bow out, is it? Well, I don't know who we're going to meet. We could win the semi as well, but if it's a Leinster or a Stormers or something, you never know. But
I think it'll be a tough game. You know, Ulster were impressive.
You think, yeah.
I think they're impressive. I think what it's going to go one or two ways. You know, yous have come back off a defeat. So, you know, you're either going up there looking for, you know, to avenge that and kind of give, I suppose, two fingers to, you know, the doubters. But Ulster, you know, it's not too long ago since you beat Ulster and Ravenhill, which, you know, no one has done. So it's kind of like which team is going to win with the mindset. Because I think it could be a good game, but... Yeah, if Ulster have a full team, like I thought Ian Henderson was impressive, I think the pack will really match. I think Timoney again had a standout, and obviously we'll go into that game in more detail.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I don't think
if they can get the likes of Dale Linde back for that game, or Manny back for that game, I don't know what the current status is on Byrne and whether he's going to be close to coming back towards the end of the season or not. We've just got Conway back. We've always back the last few weeks. So yeah, if you can get them all on the pitch together, then maybe. I know Snyman's been back training for the last few weeks. Probably too soon for him to get onto that pitch, especially straight into a knockout game. But
Jean Klein and Jenkins are kind of filling that hole, I think. For him.
If you got someone like Simon back, like that's a whole other level. You know what I mean? Like a Simon or a Jenkins. I mean, there's a World Cup.
Yeah.
The two games we've seen him play for Munster and the games we've seen him in the past, like he's got someone like him, and he's someone that can make a huge difference next year if we can just tape up those two knees.
he's a next year guy. He'd be way too green to come back in.
I'd say next year they won't risk him.
What's the point now after such investment in him, and he's just been injured since he arrived. So I think at this stage you have a good enough squad, you know, with more or less the rest available. Plus, will Ireland have a dictate over some of the guys going to New Zealand?
It's interesting.
You'll be happy with this one now. I'm finally going to say Murray had a bad game. I don't think he played well.
Hallelujah.
I don't even think he lacked creativity. I thought also the lads outside him weren't helping him, so that's probably why he was seen to be like looking for fellas.
Probably the haircut, I'd say.
The new haircut, the V, he's bringing back the V. Surely that was a forfeit or something. He looks great, like, but it's just the V, man. What's that? It was 16 years old and we had that haircut.
Are you all right?
So
you said he's a bad game and now you're going after his hair.
His heart is broken.
I don't know. I was sitting at the game and I was just like, this just isn't good enough, guys. Like, do you know what I mean? And I looked at the bench. I was like, is Casey there? And Casey wasn't there.
Oh, you're macking up for Casey now. Well, don't come looking for him. Yeah, no. He got pulled last minute, didn't he?
He got pulled last minute. He had a little knock. Like, Paddy Patterson came on and played really, really well.
I know, but I could see Casey. That's what I mean. Like, the last 20 especially, and I know the argument, but he definitely would have sped up that game for us and just created something. You know, he just needed someone to create something. And I think... You know my opinion of Mr. Casey, so I think he would have come on and done something. But you know what? Not over it yet. So
will we move on to the Kingspan, to Munster's opponents in the quarterfinals? They came away with a 24-21 win against Tennessee Sharks. Do you think that game, Andy?
I thought Ulster were impressive. You know, Billy Burns, I thought, was a man full of confidence. You know, he set up two amazing tries with skip passes. For the Larry run out to McElroy in the wing, and then he got Balakoon out in the wing, which got back in, and then Hume was on the end of that. So, I was impressed with them. And Stuart McCluskey as well, just knocking players over like they were kids. I thought Timney had a standout game. Tom O'Toole as well. Ian Henderson were back, and I think they just had key players back at the right time. I think Sharks looked a bit tired. You know, they had all their, you know, full complement of players.
I remember looking at it in paper going, like, the Khaleesi and Pippi and all the boys, like, this is about 6-7 Springboks in their team.
Yeah.
Like.
But well, actually, if I'm right, for Munster then to ship, 14 points in the last 5 minutes, I was like, oh God, which they did, if I'm not mistaken, when they were down in South Africa against the same opposition. They you know, did 20 plus points in the second half. So, yeah, I think they need to be careful of that if they're the same situation now in Munster for their quarterfinal. You know, if they're ahead, they need to be able to lock out a game. You know, they can't keep playing and just switch off, because the two tries they gave away, right, grand. For the low one was fine. But I can't remember the guy for the last try, just like chipped from his own like 5 metre. Caught it, got it to low, got it back and then ran in. I was like, oh God. But I thought it was a cracking game. I thought it was really well.
Schmeichel, sir.
Yeah, I was impressed with them. Yeah, I thought they well managed the game. I thought Billy Burns is exceptional at 10. I think the combination of having Billy at 10 and Lowry at 15 is the way to need to go. Stop messing around with putting Lowry at 10. I think Billy has now nailed it in, and then Ian Madigan on the bench is obviously there. Stuart McCluskey had a great game. He was back to being really just kind of like orchestrating it defensively. He made some really good hits, like he did the dirty work, then also carried really strong. Himself and Ian Henderson teamed up really well, so it seemed like Ulster kind of had their systems back in play, the right players in the right places. So I'm hoping they don't do that against Munster now when we go up there. But I was also really impressed with Nick Timney again. He's just smashing it. Like the pace he's running at.
21 tackles.
Yeah, 21 tackles.
21 tackles. He's the highest. He's top of the tackle charts in the URC. Like, so he's
and really, incredible. He was involved in the turnover actually to win them the game, didn't he? He hit that tackle. So
He just so nonchalantly goes around about his work as well. Like, he doesn't get too, like he's just really, really efficient player. Like, do you know what I mean?
He's just consistent, isn't he?
Yeah, really consistent. But the issue is now, as we always say, he's not going to fit into an Irish back row because there's no space there.
I think he'll go to New Zealand.
I
think he'll go to New Zealand and get some game time. But no matter how good Nick Timoney plays, is he really going to push Van der Fleer out? Is he going to push Doris out? Is he going to push Conan out?
Not really.
Then you've got O'Mahony then there as well. It's another option. Like,
It's
not. No matter how well he plays, and he's playing fantastic rugby, it's just that he's got world-class lions ahead of him.
But these midweek games against the Maoris, I think, will be really exciting because you'll have fellas like Nick playing and Hume and all these guys and Lowry who are class, like, do you know what I mean? So we can end up getting good wins against the Maoris, hopefully.
Hume played well, and I actually would like to see that matchup. Chris Farrell, actually, he kind of skilled Osborne, I thought, yesterday a couple of times. He really showed his experience. So if D'Alende is back, I'd love to see the two centre partnerships kicking off.
D'Alende against McCloskey Farrell is coming into a bit of form. Farrell hasn't had a great season. It's only in the last maybe 3 or 4 games he's starting to play a bit of good rugby.
Yeah.
So he's coming at the right time, coming into the knockout stages. So.
And Hume was full of confidence as well. I'd like to see the competition now.
They kind of had a crack off each other a couple of weeks over there. Delande and Farrell went up to Ravenhill and played against Hume. I don't know who was the other centre at Hume that day. But they kind of got the upper hand on them that day, didn't they?
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully again now. We definitely need Delande in there though.
He just brings a different physicality, I think.
He does.
And he gets his gain line, he gets your momentum, and he obviously brings that experience, I mean, as a World Cup winner. So
of course,
I think he'll be key to how successful your season is going forward.
He's going to be a huge loss next year, lads. I know, like, Fekitoa is an All Black coming in, but as far as I'm concerned, like, I mean, you'd want to get glasses if you don't think Dale Enda is the best 12 in the world at the moment. Like, he just says he's far ahead of everyone. That's how good he is. Like, and even when Munster don't play well, he's just there, like, and there just always looks so cool at what he does. It's just... everything is just I don't think people give him enough credit, because you're seeing Munster not having a great season. Sit down the next time you're playing, obviously there's not that many games left, but you look back on some of his games, just watch him watch him for 10 minutes, watch what he does. Everything he does, he's just that little bit better than everyone else around him.
He never goes back in contact ever.
No.
Every time he carries the ball, he goes forward, and his ruck, the work,
man, he's like another 7 when he hits rucks.
The work he does at the ruck is a joke, and you only really see it if you're like being a rugby player. You'd obviously notice it.
Yeah,
the work he does, you take two three men at a time.
Yeah.
So I do think if we're going to go up there and beat us, we need him playing.
Yeah, because they'll make, that'll be like, if you let Timoney get in there, tackles, they'll target your breakdown.
Did you see when Timoney got that turnover and Sia Khaleesi was trying to get him off the ball?
Yeah, he couldn't. And that's when I was like,
Sia Khaleesi can't get Nick Timoney off. And I was like,
yeah. I don't think he had a great game, to be honest. I was a little disappointed with him. Like,
he got caught out in the middle of the park when Billy Burns went straight through, which is mad at his level. But I suppose he thought his inside defender was going to get there. But it's still so weird for seeing him to be making those mistakes. But we're all human.
Well, he looked a little flat. He kind of dipped, I think, towards the end of the half. And then, it's not like him. When I seen their lineup, I was like, no, I don't see Ulster actually winning this. And, they were deserving of their win. But
They were. They played really well.
Khaleesi didn't have the same impact he did when they played them down there, I don't think.
No, definitely not. Move on to Connacht and Zebra.
Yeah.
Just about 22-20 win for Connacht.
Not
a whole lot to play for there, but I suppose, Connacht wanted to sign off with a nice win. A lot of guys leaving, the likes of Old Delan, Sammy Ireland, Papali'i, Masterson, Matt Healy's retiring. Funny old season for Connacht, lads. I'm surprised they've finished so low, like, because if you look back in it, they've had some really big wins, haven't they?
They have, but actually I think they've the most points conceded, if I'm not wrong.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. So defensively, and we've seen that yesterday, there was a couple of times where there's two or three Connacht men against one Zebre and they just don't make the tackle.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of ship some poor tries. And I think, again, with the likes of Bundy, Aki missing, Hansen, Paul Boyle, I think was injured. Like, when they're missing, and we've said this throughout the season, when they're missing senior players, you know, Irish time, whatever like that, they're really impacted. So I think next season with, you know, Dooley and Bourne come in, I think they just need to look at trying to be consistent. And I think they need to have as much energy and impact in their attack as in their defence, because there's no point in having... Grand, they got big wins, but I think they relied on their scoring press rather than their defence. So if they can kind of balance it out, I think they'll be more consistent. But until they kind of, a bit like Munster, like you said, if they don't have depth in the squad,
it's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah, I was just happy for them that they got the win in their last game of the season, 22-20, and saying goodbye to all those players. They seemed to have saw a lot of social media posts that all saying bye to each other. So nice way to kind of wrap up their season. But as you said, Lindsay, they need to look towards next season, build squads around guys like Cian Prendergast, who got Young Player of the Year off the RPI Awards.
Yeah.
He went out got man of the match again.
Yeah.
His availability is incredible as well at his age.
And he played 8.
Yeah.
He started, 20 out 21 games. So
which is amazing.
Yeah, he had huge involvement in two of the tries. You know
exactly
what I mean?
So him and then they get Bundy back, Mac Hansen, the two guys coming over from Leinster. So they're going to have a nice squad next year. I think he's just building up again and take the positives, I think.
Mm.
But thank God they got the win, because it'd be so bad losing against Zebre at home last game of the season. Like, so.
I mean, when you look at the league, like someone like Connacht, I think the minimum goal next year for them should be making top 8. Like,
definitely.
They're good
they're
enough
well
to make top
100%.
You know, that must be frustrating for Connacht fans and frustrating for any friend. Like, when you know you're good enough to get there, they have the players. As you said, they've made a couple of decent signings for next year.
Yeah, watch this space, I think, when it comes to Connacht.
And actually,
you
say for the likes of Dooley, like, he's not a guy who gets injured.
Mm.
So, like, now Adam Byrne, I know, has been inconsistent with Leinster with injury, but if they can keep him injury free and, as I said, kind of build some bit of consistency, aim for majority of home wins, which obviously they do on the sports grounds, it's a really, really hard place to go. And then target a couple, you know, the kind of, there's nothing guaranteed now at high level anymore, but, you know, get a couple of scalps. So I think you're right. They need to be aiming for a top 8 now.
They've Josh Murphy going over as well, don't they? From Leinster.
Joe, he's a really underrated player.
He's class.
He did a class game the other day. His work rate is lying out. He knows his stuff, and like that, his attention to detail is just doing the basics really well. And I think he'll fit into Conor Crowley's. And he's also very physical. He's a big guy, so he can play back row, he can play second row. So again, I think that he's adaptable, so it'll give them a couple of options with him. So
of course.
The best look. And again, I don't think he's injury prone, touch wood.
That's it. Well, great to see Zebra as well playing well. Good way to finish up their season. They had a couple of good performers. But yeah, nice way for Connacht to kind of wrap up their season.
I think Byrne could be a surprise to a lot of people next year as well. He's a guy that, I know, he struggled with injury, like, but people forget how good he is. If you can get him fit and firing, like, he could be a big signing for Connacht.
Oh, when he came on yesterday, he was lively, and he's really, really, like, he's a big guy anyway, but he's just, like, bulked, do you know what I mean? And I'd say with all the injuries he's had, he's just really put on a good bit of muscle. So I think, again, yeah, I think it's a, I think the change will be good for him, hopefully. Yeah. Really kickstart his career again.
Definitely. We look at the rest of the results, so we'll do a quick roundup of the poor Welsh sides that are getting battered left, right and centre again. I'm sorry, if we have many Welsh listeners, we give you a lot of abuse, lads, but I mean, I don't know what's going on with club rugby in Wales. There's talks about cutting one of the clubs now again and amalgamations and all this crap, but 69-21 defeat for Cardiff against Treviso. Ospreys losing, I know they only lost 31-38 to the Bulls at home, and the Bulls are playing good rugby, but that's another defeat. The Dragons losing to the weakest South African team home, 21-11. Scarlets losing at home again against the Stormers. These are all home games. So remember this now. This is four home games that they've lost there. I mean, they can barely scrape a win together. Do you know? And it just, I know even Welsh international isn't in a great state at the moment, but club rugby in Wales hasn't been healthy in a long time.
I think it's the same for their women's. Do you know, nothing has really been invested back in them. So I think the WRU need to look at that, because like you said, it kind of starts at ground up, but it'll feed into the international.
It's the biggest sport in Wales, is rugby, like.
I know. Do you know
what I mean? It's kind of nuts. Like,
I'm actually quite worried for Wales, like, because obviously they're top lads. They have their Liam Williams and whatever kind of in the top team that are keeping that together. But they can't keep holding it all together. They need these club guys coming through. And every Welsh club is playing poorly at the moment.
Every Welsh
club. Like, it's like, what are they going to do in the next two, 3 seasons? Like, so you said it comes from the ground up. But then maybe because the women are doing poorly, the clubs are doing poorly, that is it a, like a director kind of thing? They need to like clear out the boardroom and get a whole new set of heads in there. I don't know what the WRU is.
There's a lot of, what I'm hearing, like, there's a lot of kind of like, I don't know, politics and stuff behind the scenes, like, because you have all that crap as well, like with Ospreys and Scarlets were supposed to come together there a couple of years ago, and then you've got this problems with the regions, and that's why Cardiff got rid of Blues off their name and stuff. And there's a lot going on there. Obviously, we're not privy to it, like, we wouldn't know too much about it, but from speaking to Welsh journalists and from reading articles online, it seems to be, it's been a mess over there in general, like across the board for a while.
No, but I think the good thing is, like, obviously we see, like, you know, previous seasons when the South African teams come in, you know, they were poor. Now we can see that 3 out of 4 of them now for this season, like, have made the playoffs. So, I suppose hopefully what we can say to our Welsh listeners, if there's any, you know, hopefully there's brighter times ahead. But I think right now, if you don't stop the rot now, I think it's just going to impact everything. And it kind of has, like you said, Greg, it's impacted across the board, like women's, men's, underage. And if there's no confidence in the WRU, how are you going to attract new players as well? So it's just going to impact them eventually. You know, we might see it this season or next season, but when the likes of Liam Williams and Alwyn Jones, you know, they all hang up their boots, who's going to fill the shoes?
Actually quite scary. I like Wales. Like, I always kind of support them, shout for them. And at the moment, even talking to Welsh friends I have and people, they know it's a problem as well. Like.
Yeah.
So hopefully they kind of have a rejig and they sort it all out like the South African teams did. Because we hate to see the Welsh team not performing. Like, with the World Cup coming up as well next year. Like.
Yeah, and like I said, the South Africans didn't do much, and then they go and win the World Cup, and then you've confidence, and then people are buying in, and then kind of feeds into everything, and then so hopefully, I think they still have time, but the sun ain't shining on them at the moment.
What about the South African franchises, lads? I mean, everyone kind of gave out, like, because we had such a bad experience the last time with the Cheetahs and the Kings, like, and they really, really terrible, didn't do well. But anyone that's followed Super Rugby, a lot of people wouldn't have, like, people that follow the URC or Pro 14 wouldn't have known much about them. But, you know, we've all followed Super Rugby here. We know these are the four big boys coming over, but we still thought it would take a bit of time for them to settle. And first few months of the season, like, you know, they were getting beaten left, right and centre. I know they were missing a lot of players and they had a tough travel schedule. 3 out of the 4 teams all have made the quarterfinals, and they have just run riot the second half of the season.
Well, they were impressive. Like, we've seen the results. That not what I think we'd only one team won away in South Africa.
I think it was two. Yeah. Could be right.
Connacht won one.
And someone else won, yeah.
Edinburgh had a win down
Edinburgh,
there.
Edinburgh, that was it, yeah.
Connacht the only team to get a win down there out of all the Irish provinces.
It's nuts.
Which is so surprising. And they were so physical.
Yeah.
They were so physical. they targeted a breakdown, and then when they got breaks, Jesus, the athleticism of some of them and the speed and the tries. And it was exciting and exactly what we needed in comparison to the teams, unfortunately, without being offence to them, that we would have had before. But yeah, I thought they've really added, you know, and I think that's it'll help. I know Leinster brought down their kind of young guys, and it helps kind of blood them.
Yeah, we say that Leinster brought their young guys down to South Africa. Same young guys Munster just played yesterday, and we lost to them by 10 points. So, like, that means South African teams are in really good shape.
Really good shape.
And I think it goes back to a lot of kudos to Razzy Rasmus, because he's drawing these top International World Cup winners back to play in their country, and they're training week in, week out with each other, which is amazing. All the best players in the world are playing every week, which is kind of scary to think how good South Africa are going to be when they all come
World Cup time.
When they come World Cup time. Oh my God.
Yeah, it doesn't bear thinking about, because you're kind of, and you're looking at how big they are, and you're like, Ireland really need to probably, you know, look at what style we can play. Because actually, Ulster opened up, you know, the Sharks yesterday when they kind of drew them in and got little pockets and soft shoulders. But once we go physically against the South African teams, we're only going to come out.
It's only going to make us better, though, because we're playing them now. Now we're getting an opportunity to play them.
Absolutely.
How often do we normally get to play South Africa? So you know what I mean? Like the actual Springboks. So now we're actually getting to play these Springbok players regularly every season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're getting a couple of games that can, even the likes of Etzvet and them, are coming back to South African friendships. So more of them, more of them are coming back.
Yeah.
So like normally, like how often, like when would a young Leinster player or a young Ulster get a chance to play Sia Khaleesi? They wouldn't.
I know, they wouldn't.
Do you know, they wouldn't. Only the top internationals would get a chance once every couple of years. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So when it comes around to World Cup, we're not used to playing these big Southern Hemisphere teams.
Or even Ballacoon playing at Manpeakby the other day.
Yeah.
That's amazing, like, you're going up against him.
That was a nice little battle.
It was a battle, good battle, wasn't it?
One of the best wingers in the world, like.
Yeah,
exactly. So the South African teams have really spiced up the URC, because the Welsh teams aren't giving it to us and the Scottish teams aren't really. So South African, fair play to you guys stepping up to the mark.
Yeah,
and I'd love to see one of them get into the final now, which I think they will.
It would be good, yeah. Just looking at the quarterfinals now. So obviously Leinster have got Glasgow at home. The Stormers have got Edinburgh at home. I mean, you fancy the Stormers there to beat Edinburgh at home without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Ulster, then Munster, which you've discussed in detail. And then Bulls and the Sharks in South Africa. I mean, that game could go either way. Like, so realistically, like, there's a good chance you're going to have two South African teams in a semi.
Yep.
You're guaranteed at least one in a semi there. So, you know, we could end up being something. I don't know what way the draw works with the who's on which side, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
It could be cool. Yeah, it'd be pretty good to see.
In probably the first guarantee season. Leinster will be in one of the spots anyway.
Well,
so.
Leinster have a home quarterfinal, a home semi final, a home final, and I'm not giving out, like, but they deserve it. Like, but you know, it's just it's tough to look at, but they're there on merit. Like, and it, you know, maybe I'm, to be honest with you, the one thing I would probably disagree with it, and I do think in any final, especially in a cross-border competition, the final should be at a venue that's picked neutrally.
Neutral.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I
and if it's
agree
on in Dublin, it so happens to be in Dublin. Like next year, the Champions Cup final is on in Dublin. You know, and if Leinster get to that, like, you know, that's fine. But like you pick it, you
I agree
pick your venue a year in advance. You know?
Yeah, and then you know. Yeah,
it could be on in Paris, could be on in bloody Rome, it could be on anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Or obviously, it should be on in one of the countries that plays in the URC, like could be on the Millennium, could be on the Aviva, could be on in Edinburgh, you know, whatever.
Because it definitely gives an advantage playing at home. Your home crowd, you don't have to travel. Like there's so many advantages to it. Like, so I think, obviously within Leinster, they deserve it because they're playing so well.
No, listen, I agree. Just to spice up the competition. Like, and look, if I was a player, I'd be like, yeah, home advantage. But part of me as well is like, you don't want to kind of be playing at home if it's a final. You want the atmosphere to be different. And like fans want to travel. Like you want something different because it kind of adds to that event. Yeah, and
it does. You're right. Because it's an event. Like, I mean, like, look at the Marseille next weekend. Like, you know, I mean, neither of those teams are from Marseille. I know La Rochelle are French, but like, how cool is it going to be for the Leinster fans to all get together? And like, the flights are sold out flying out of Dublin and coming back. How cool is it going to be for them? Like, go over on a Friday morning and they'll spend the weekend in sunny Marseille. And do you know what I mean? Like,
are you just rubbing this in because you're gone?
I'm going to be there in a Munster jersey, I'd say, or like sitting in the corner. But it does, as you said, it's that's what it's all about. Like, a final is about going to an event. It's do you know what I mean? And it's not just a day, it's a weekend trip. Like, I'm sort of sick of going to the Aviva at this stage.
You know what's weird to see, though, at the game yesterday, it wasn't sold out. I think it's so mad that a Munster Leinster derby doesn't sell out. And the same when they were in Tomlin Park a couple of months ago, didn't sell out. I'm like, what? People just aren't going to games anymore. This is the biggest game, Munster Leinster. What do you make of that, Jason?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I don't know.
And then you saw a massive crowd at the AIL 1A final. You know, just absolutely everyone turned out. So maybe people are going back to
one thing. I will say, like, I was at the Munster's game against Toulouse and stuff, like 40,000 people made the trip up to that. Like, maybe just a bit of a burnout, like, kind of like, it wasn't a huge game to go up and watch Leinster because it was a rescheduled game off the back of blah, blah, blah. I know Munster had to win. It's like if it was two full, a full Leinster team and a full Munster team going at it with something on the line, you're having that stadium.
Yeah.
Do you know? And like everyone, it's like, that's, I mean, it costs money to go to these matches as well, like, and travel up to Dublin and get accommodation sometimes or get a fly back. The price of Pete diesel and petrol at the moment, lads.
Well, I wasn't lucky enough to be at the Munster Toulouse game, but I heard the atmosphere was like old times.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe it. Like, at the start of the match, they played Zombies by the Cranberries and 40,000 people started singing it. Do you know, every now and then you'd feel that Roy just being roared out. And it was very much as close as you'll get to the old Munster, and you're kind of like, and it was so crazy with the penalty shootout and the extra time and stuff, and like no one knew what to do. And sure, if you add on an extra, whatever, what was it, an extra 30 minutes of injury time,
rugby,
so that's an extra 3 or 4 points then as well. Like, so everyone's absolutely pissed. You know what I mean? it's good. I mean, I think the fans are still behind them, but that was just probably one trip too many.
Yeah, well, hopefully they travel up the north now for the next game.
Yeah,
I think they will. Yeah. I think you know, Stormers might go in confident now into their quarterfinals, considering they won the Shield.
Yeah, look at our Shield winners. We've got Leinster winning the Irish Shield, Sarafkin Shield won by the Stormers, as you said. Ospreys winning the Welsh Shield.
I mean, sure, that has to be positive for Welsh.
Sure, they had some pretty cool wild celebrations for that.
For people that don't know, the Shield is the regions, the trophy you get for winning your region.
Yes, I mean, the top club in your region. So there was the Scottish and Italians, which you get, obviously, because there's so few of them. There's only four of them, so Edinburgh won that.
Yeah, I thought the Leinster guys lifting it yesterday was just so funny. Like, they just, not that they didn't care, but like, they just have such other things on their mind, don't they?
Yeah,
really, like,
yeah. I think they probably overthought this a little bit when they were bringing in the ORC and they want to inject a bit of life and they want to make things more fun. I think it's something they probably might scrap and probably should scrap. Because if you're going to do something like a Shield, it shouldn't just be the highest ranked Irish or the highest ranked. It should be kind of like, okay, who won the head-to-head? Like, I mean, didn't Ulster beat Leinster twice this year? Yeah. So, you know, Ulster probably could have had a chance of winning the Shield, even though Leinster finished top, because it should come down to your head-to-head. To make it a bit more exciting.
Well, like, look at the Welsh teams. Like, I'm not being funny. They've had, an abysmal season. Like, so if I was the Ospreys, no offence. I'm like, we've had the most terrible season. You know, and now we've just won a Shield. I think it's just a bit of a...
I'm sure they all went out in a bender and had their laugh at the Shield.
Yeah, I could see the other side of it. They're like, oh, there's some little shining light, but I'm like...
Well, that's it. I suppose silverware is silverware. Like, yeah.
I see it being scrapped though. Would you scrap it?
I just think there's no real need for it.
I'm ridiculously competitive and I'm like laughing at this. Like, I would like win and, you know, I'd be up against someone for an egg and spoon race, and if I won, I would be ruthless with them. So, but this, I think, is just farcical.
There's nothing to it. Like, do you know what I mean? There has to be a bigger benefit. Maybe winning.
I'm saying there has to be something to do with maybe Champions Cup qualification could be tied into it in some way. Or as I said, the interprovincial thing. There needs to be something there to make it like, okay, what happens if we win this?
Yeah.
Is it any good to us?
Eating your
cereal out of it. Yeah. It's more than something like that. But I don't know. I think we should get rid of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
We will move on to the world news before we finish up, guys. There's loads to talk about. There's a lot going on. Like, rugby is just crazy at the moment. Like,
yeah, it's fabulous.
Building up to finals, and there's sevens on, and then there's bloody... just everything getting announced this time of the year. Like, so there's a lot going on. But big one, as we mentioned there earlier, is the... it was originally supposed to be on in Spurs' stadium there before COVID, the Champions Cup final next year. But there's issues there again with something to do with the World Cup and soccer and stuff, which we don't care about that sport. But anyway.
Yes.
The Champions Cup and Challenge Cup finals are going to be on in Dublin. So brilliant weekend to look forward to. Because they're really making a big deal out of this now. It's like it's a whole weekend of fun. It's a whole weekend. Like, Dublin's going to light up. You're going to have a Challenge Cup final on the Friday night, Champions Cup final on the Saturday. Hopefully Munster will be in it.
Yeah. I think it's great for
you.
The
know
country,
what?
Yeah.
You're doing really well there until he said Munster would be in it.
Sorry, what? Yeah.
Hey, really, with the new coaching structure coming in, Munster versus Leinster, Champions Cup final.
Now, I have to keep
second tourist going to try and do it in final to win it.
You weren't saying that a while ago now when you had poor Diolanda, you had a tiny tear.
No, I think it's great for the country to have that game coming here, but it's obviously a year away, but it's cool thing to look forward to.
I don't think we get enough big events because we're such a small country, and this, I think, it'll be good.
We were robbed of the World Cup.
We were robbed
of the World Cup. We'll never forget that, right? We'll never forget that. World Rugby, you robbed us. You owe us a World Cup.
Yeah, and we're going to show you how well we can host these final sections.
Moving on to the, we talked about this at the top of the show. You were at the Rugby Players Ireland Awards.
Do you know what's really funny? When rugby players, you notice them in their gear, but when they scrub up, you're like, you have to kind of do a double take. Now, that didn't happen with Greg because he's as handsome in and out of gear.
What were you wearing now?
Who
were you wearing? Sorry,
everyone was in their number ones. I was wearing Louis Copeland, actually.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, very nice.
Everyone looked really, really well in the night. Lindsay looked great. It was a good night, actually. RPI always put on a good show.
I have a funny story for you, though. So I wore a waistcoat, right? And it was lovely, but I just wore the waistcoat. And Mike Ross, who used to coach us at Front Row, gorgeous man, gave me a hug. There was two buttons and he knocked my button off.
Ah, stop.
No way.
Yeah, and that was not good before I went up to collect Eve's ward. So I had to go out to the reception, get a grooming kit, and I spent 20 minutes.
I didn't.
Me, yes, stitching my button back on.
Mike Ross owes you a point.
That was an aggressive hug by Mike Ross.
Gentle. No, he probably thought I was gone home because I was 20 minutes trying to sew my button back on. But Josh Van de Fleer won, obviously, the men's, and Sam Monahan, who had an exceptional. Now, there was a couple of players who had standout season for the women because obviously we were starting fresh, but Sam was hugely consistent, and it was her breakout season considering she's this time last year she wasn't even in a Six Nations squad, and I think she's only taken up rugby within the last 3 years. So congratulations to all nominees and winners. But
With Josh, Greg, I think he was the outstanding candidate. That was thoroughly deserved.
It was a tight one. It was himself, Josh Van de Fleer, obviously Hugo Keenan and Mac Hansen, three unbelievable players. But I just think Josh, Hugo could have gotten as well, everyone would be like, fair enough, but I think Josh is,
he's elevated his game.
He's just elevated. Yeah, he's just stepped up, and his ball carrying skills this year has just been immense, and very deserving. Sam Monahan, very deserving as well, and she spoke very well in her interview, I thought.
Didn't
Sam.
She? She's a cracking girl. I can't say enough about her. She's originally a Meath woman. She used to be a goalkeeper, I think. For me.
That's so common with you girls. You're all just so multidisciplined at the top level. Like, so you playing basketball as well.
Yeah, but she was saying, like, when she moved to England, they were like, oh, you know, she was up for a GAA team in Brighton, and you know, they were like, you know, we don't have one. Would you play rugby? And she's like, I'm not playing rugby. It's, you know, ridiculous sport. And then, like, now she's picking up a Player of the Year award. It was one of her stories the other night, and I was like,
that's gas.
And it is, like, I started in 2015. I got Player of the Year in 2017, probably because I started to understand the game a bit more. I wasn't a Neanderthal now, but, you know, I'm not a patch on Sam. I thought her offloads, they really missed her against England, her physicality, what she can bring in the line-out. So I think it's... And the scary thing is there's so much more to come from her.
Yeah.
And she's so humble. Say enough about her.
The other big winners, Cian Prendergast getting Nevin Spence, men's Young Player of the Year. We spoke about him already in the Connacht game. He's a guy that he's still so young and he's playing so well, and he's so durable. What did he play? It's 20 out of 21 games for Connacht this year. He's going to go to New Zealand. He's a guy that's already been in and around the Irish squad. I know we've got a lot of back rows, but this guy, there's something about him.
He does, yeah. He really stands out every single game. Like, like Andy Farrell can't ignore him anymore. Like, has to bring him in. I'm really impressed with him. He's very modest as well in his interview. I think he's originally from Leinster, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Kildare man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. He's kind of a bit like a Tadhg Byrne, if I'm not mistaken.
He wasn't wanted by Leinster, and he picked up by Connacht, and now look at him.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy. Yeah. Our rugby editor, Pat, was down in the sports ground during the week, and he was chatting to him, and there's a interview clips up on Sports Show, and seems like a really nice guy. He's very level-headed.
Yeah.
He's enjoying his rugby. He's, you know what I mean? Like, he's...
I kind of roared at him on Wednesday, congratulations. And yeah, he didn't hesitate to take the time. Like, thanks. He seems a good guy, and I think he's just gone from strength to strength. And I'd be interested to see, with competition in the back row, the same way as Tadhg Byrne, he's adaptable, you know. And I think the second row now has gone kind of, you know, you've kind of your back five are kind of all that back row athletic.
You've no choice now. You have to be
compete.
Like, it's not like gone are the days, or I'm a seven. Oh, I'm a six, I'm an eight. Now you have to be like basically probably four, five, six, seven, and eight.
Yeah. And Prendergast has played, you know, he's played six, he played eight there against Zebre. So again, to have that adaptability at such a young age and to just, you know, throw himself in anywhere, I think he's, you know, bright future ahead.
He's going places 100%.
Yeah. Kellen Dora, same with the try of the year for that try against New Zealand, which was an absolute cracking try. Like, I can still remember screaming at the TV for that try. Like, it was just... for a guy his size to score a try like that, it was just, and it was such a key moment of the game as well. It was such an important try.
Well, what I loved was his legs, you know, like sprinter's legs. The knees were up in front of his chest so nobody could catch his feet. I was like, he knows he's away here. But yeah, look, another great deserving guy who's gone from strength to strength and, you know, has been exceptional for Leinster and Ireland. So, yeah.
Yeah, top class.
Touching back on the tour, guys, I don't know about you, but I am so excited for this whole two midweek Māori games and the three test matches. Like, it's like a mini kind of alliance, or it's an old school tour with
we'll
a big 45 players going over. And,
and we won't get any sleep because so many games.
But like we were saying it like in the show only a few weeks ago and stuff, the fact that, because we kind of half knew this was happening, but it wasn't officially announced. Like, this is the last real chance to blood in these guys and give them game time, because if we were all asleep for 2 years for COVID, the bloody World Cup's next year, that's September. It's the last opportunity, really, because you're all you've got is November Internationals and a Six Nations. Like, that's it, really. Like,
and I think this tour will be key to Ireland and their success, not only to who Andy Farrell uses, but how he uses the games. You know, because like you said, we've now the South Africans that we're playing in kind of a club level, so you get more video of them, you can see them, they're more accessible now. But now we're going to play the team who realistically will be one of the favourites in the world going into that World Cup. So it's exciting. It's exciting for Ireland to get such good competition.
Yeah, you know what the scary thing is about New Zealand is that they came up here after like, what, 18 games in a row or something, lost to Ireland in Aviva, then lost to France over in France, then went home. And no one's heard anything from them since. Like, they've just been quietly going about their business. Yeah. And I was chatting to a guy from New Zealand the other day. I was like, what's going on? Like, no one's talking about New Zealand. Everyone's talking about South Africa, France, Ireland, England, like, revamping everything. New Zealand are just quietly working away down there. I'd say they're bubbling and ready to absolutely murder everyone in the world for, like, writing them off.
Like, oh, the Blues and the Crusaders are smashing everyone in Super Rugby at the moment, like, so.
It's going to be scary, man.
I think it's the same for their women, because they didn't have a good tour. They lost to France twice. They lost to England.
They've just gone home to quietly.
Oh, I think they've gone home. They've gone underground and they're just passing
the black ferns. Are coming back with a bang.
Yeah. I'd actually be nervous going down there now as an Irish lad. What a challenge, though. Like, go up against...
What would you look at as success down there? Like, should this be all about, okay, let's go down there, let's have a bit of fun, let's get guys blooded in, or let's go and try and get a very famous series win and go all out? What way do you approach it?
Yeah, I think just as a natural athlete, like you obviously know, Lindsay, is that they're so competitive, they're going to want to win. Like, win
the series, I know what I'm saying, but what would you be successful? Would we want to reflect, listen, go, we beat New Zealand, we got a series win, or we want to go, do you know what, we got these guys home and we've brought this guy through. Is that the way you want to look at what's a success for us fans?
I think if we go down there and don't get a win, it would be very disappointing. Like, I think one win it would be decent, but I think they'd be expected to win the whole series against them, especially if you want to be in contention to win the World Cup next year. But also, I think a big element of it is go down there with 50 players and come back with their top players not injured. Do you know what I mean? Because you think going down there, like a Johnny Sexton going down, or your Tyke Burns, Gary Ringrose, you don't want those guys picking up big knocks, getting torn to pieces by New Zealanders. So that would also be an element of it for me. Go down, get your experience, but like maybe blood the young guys, give them a shot. You don't need to be playing like Johnny Sexton every minute. Like, you know, he's going to be fine. Like, that would be a thing for me to come down.
Should Johnny Sexton be starting all three tests?
I don't think there's any need. Like,
I'm not sure I'd even...
Is there any... He'll want
he's
to
gonna, oh, he, he's gonna Johnny Sexton's going to want to start against the All Blacks.
Yeah, bring him, but bring him as kind of that leadership role to help blood other players. But like, to be fair, in my career, I got the opportunity as through an injury, which you never want to see happening. But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have had my 38 caps, that's genuinely. Yeah. And the three I started against were England, Canada and New Zealand that year in Autumn Internationals. And I went from strength to strength because it was like someone flicked a switch. So it was between confidence and I finally knew what I was doing. But I think for me, the win down there is to kind of, bring the 50 players. But I'd be blooding players, to be honest. I think
let's not forget, we've never won down there either. We've never beaten them in New Zealand.
If we got one win, I'd be happy. But mainly for me, I think, I don't think it'd do us any favours winning that series. Because I think it's still a year out from World Cup.
And we
I
know, love, like, we love peaking too early.
We do. I think the country would be like, we have won the World Cup.
We're putting medals on their necks already.
Like. No. Look at England. Everyone's giving all of England and saying, England aren't doing great. Lads, I will put money on the table right now. England will be at a semi-final at the very least.
At the very least. And I think right now we just need depth, because what we've lacked in every other World Cup when we've underperformed is we've relied on our big players to come and perform. And then when they haven't, we've had no backup plan. And we've discussed this with Munster. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about international or provincial. You need depth of players. You need experience. And I think Joey needs that time, really. Because if...
Are you still going with the Joey at 10 as a successor to Joey?
No, I'm not sure, actually. I think Ross Byrne needs to go as well.
What
I'm not
Harry?
Sure.
Harry's team to be starting to hit a Ross now, which is mad. I think there's so many guys at that second level. The Ross Byrne, the Harry Byrne, Joe Rich, Jack Carty, Ben. There's, and then Johnny's just here. Who's going to move into that position? And I know we say it all the time, but I just think Joey is so creative and agile. He's so good at 15. I love seeing him at 15.
And that's a good... So we've kind of him, Larmer, like Hugo Keane. So, right, I agree with you. I think Joey's better at fullback maybe, and we have a couple of more options at 10.
Yeah.
But how do we filter those players
We need him to come through as a 10 for Ireland more than anything. Need him to come through as a 15 because we have loads of 15s there. And that's what we need is someone else, because I'm still worried that something's going to happen, Johnny, come the World Cup. And if he does, like, all this brilliant form and all these great wins just goes out the window. Like, because if he's not there, as things stand, we're not getting to a semi-final of the World Cup without Johnny Sexton. We're not.
Yeah. Your halfback pairing is key to any team. Mm. It does, you know, it doesn't matter who we're talking about. If we don't have that 10, and like, as a player and a fan, like, you're like, oh God. It's the person who's the playmaker who pulls the strings. And I know his attitude and his interview with Andrew Trimble, I was like, oh God, he's ruthless when he wouldn't tell him the plays. But I've been on the receiving end of a 10 where they're like, you should know your SHIT. And I'm like,
yeah,
I should, but I really need you right now.
This was Johnny when he wouldn't tell Andrew Trimble.
So he was
get to the level. And what's Johnny's won? 3 Six Nations, including a Grand Slam. He's won 4 Heineken Cups, might win his 5th the weekend. He's been on 2 Lions tours, won one of them, drawn one of them. Yeah. He's a world former World Player of the Year. You don't get to that level. You don't get that good. He's probably will go down in the echelons, maybe the top 5 or 6 out halves of all time.
100%. Yeah.
You know, I put him in the top 5, to be honest with you. Do you know?
Absolutely, but that's no use to us now if we don't have a second.
That's the issue.
And like, I think for me, this tour has to be that balance. You know, we do want to be competitive. But I don't think the bigger picture is the World Cup.
And I also think the same story with the scrum halves. I think you need to bring down a couple of them. You bring down Casey, bring down Nathan Doak.
Yeah.
I know, I'm starting to change my tone.
You've
got to be playing your Casey's and your Doak's on there. Doak. We already know Gibson Park is absolutely classic.
Gibson Park.
Not Murray. That old. Murray, like, everyone knows what Murray can do. Yeah. Everyone knows what Murray can do. Same as everyone knows Sexton do.
I'd even bring Caelan Blade down there as well. I think he's playing really good rugby over in the sports ground. Those three guys would have to go and play a lot of rugby for me, I think. Have them ready to go, because as you say, Gibson Park and Murray, they're good to go. Like, you don't really need them playing, like,
no.
So it'd be interesting to see what Andy Farrell does do.
I trust him. Moving on to the sevens, lads.
Yes,
we're actually recording the show late on Sunday, so we got a chance to see it beaten by Fiji in the final. But they got to the final, lads.
Their first final against
I mean, to lose to the back-to-back Olympic champions isn't all that bad. Like,
it's an incredible result. It's actually unbelievable. And the women have done so well as well.
Yeah.
I'll speak about the men first. Is that it's the best result for men's rugby ever in sevens rugby. To get to the final, get a silver medal. And they played well against Fiji. But Fiji are double champions, Olympic champions.
Yeah, they're
like,
the best
team in the world. And when Fiji decide they want to play, they're just, you can't beat them.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, Ireland actually beat them last week.
Yeah.
In like a first round game, they went out and beat them. So the boys are in really, really good shape. And I think it's because they've had a big mix up of like coaching staff. They have new young guys in. Terry Kennedy is just probably the best sevens player in the world. Top try scorer in the world at the moment. Top carries, top... He's DHL Impact Player of the Year. He's unbelievable. Jordan, I'm just so, so happy for those guys, because the grind they put in the last couple of years to now start getting results. And it's every week they're getting the results.
Yeah.
It's not just a once-off. Now they're sitting fourth on the table. So I'm actually going over next week to London to watch them play. And I can't wait to see them all. Like,
nice.
And the women have done really well. So shout out to the women as well. They've been consistently playing well, getting third, fourths. Which is really such
a semi-finals, isn't it? Yeah. So.
But they've had to change a coach as well. Yeah. I think, you know, some fresh impetus there with new players, and they lost the third place playoff to Fiji, again, another, you know, top class team. So huge congratulations to both teams.
Exactly. But the women got their medal a couple of weeks ago, didn't they?
In Spain. Their first final win, and you know, they've just gone from strength to strength, and it's confidence. And I think they were probably unlucky in that playoff with 2 yellow cards, and that can obviously impact you hugely. But I think it's, you know, especially in a World Cup year, you know, it's big positives for everyone. So I think, you know, it'll be just building on the World Series now in preparation for July for the qualification.
The qualification over summer in Rugby Europe. And because Ireland didn't play in Rugby Europe last year during COVID, they opted out of it. They now have to go into like the second league of the Rugby Europe
and qualify.
To qualify to get into the top league of Rugby Europe, to then win Rugby Europe to get into the World Cup.
Really?
It's bizarre. It's absolutely nuts.
Even though they're fourth in the bloody world. I know, at the moment. Someone needs to look at that.
It's kind of like a foregone conclusion. It's just formalities to get through, but they have to play so many more games now in the build up to the World Cup. Like,
it'd be just injury and load, you know, extra games, you can't complain. Yeah. It's just the impact, you know, if you're missing players.
How many games, like, if you're over in the World Series, how many games do you play a day? Is it 3 or 4 days?
6 games in a weekend, 3 a day.
3 a day.
The thing is, it's 3 warm-ups in a day as well. And then it's also the, you train during the week. Like, the load is crazy. Like, it's up, like, the top fellas, like, the Terry Kennedys and Harry McNulty's will be covering 30k in a week, easy, 30-40k.
What would you do in between games? Say you've done your warm-up, right, and you've done a warm for every game, and say you've played a really big game in the middle, and it's an absolute, like, hellish affair. What do you do then, like, while you're waiting around for the third game? Do you warm down?
You honestly, you'd have lads sleeping in the dressing room, like, do you know, lying down underneath the bags. Like, there's always a place for food, or lying out in literally on the tarmac. Like, it's so raw, man. It's hilarious. But that's what Sevens is. It's known as the traveling circus. Like, top athletes in the world, and they just all just herd together. People sleeping everywhere, but that's the beauty of it as well. It's just so accessible and so entertaining. Like, so
I want to go to one of the tournaments. Actually, they're good. Yeah.
Come over next week to London.
I'd love to see them bring one over here. I think it's something they would do really well. Oh, they made an attempt at it, but they didn't do it right. We had that World Club 7 series that was on in Limerick, and then brought up to Dublin for a while. Like, but they didn't do it right.
We were supposed to have the Olympic qualifier here.
Yeah, if we had something like a proper event, like the one you're going to next week, like, there's loads. If we had something like that on Neviva, I think we'd get a good turnout, because Irish people, first of all, we love a bit of crack. Yeah. A day out drinking, a fancy dress. It's suited us.
Yeah.
And you're saying that to get a chance to watch proper international teams, like to get out for a weekend to watch Fiji, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia.
South Africa.
Yeah. And the other flip side is, right, they're over in Toulouse, the sun is shining. It just gives it that, je ne sais quoi.
You have to give us one in June.
And it's like, you know that wet rain, you're like.
Yeah. No, you'd have to plan it. Like, the only time we can host one, it has to be like around June. Like, at least we're guaranteed a little bit of good weather.
Yeah, June bank holiday. June bank holiday
weekend, come over to us.
I think it'd be amazing. Not even the Viva, the RDS.
There's loads of places you can host.
Amazing. Hotels.
I think the Viva would be nice.
Yeah, well, the Viva would be nice. I just like to make sure you'd pack it out.
50,000, I suppose. Yeah. There is a good like traveling like fan base for the Sevens.
They follow us all over the world. Like, we've been to Moscow, we've been to Hamilton, New Zealand. They always come. Like, there's Irish all over the world. You see, flock out. But yeah, well done to the boys and well done to the girls. They're flying it.
Good stuff.
I'm going to continue.
Yeah. Moving on to the big game next weekend. I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
5-star.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm heading over to it myself. I mean, to be honest, like, I'm just going to kind of tweak my eyes a little bit. Like, I'm just pretend they're wearing green, because it's pretty much 13 out of those 15 players start for Ireland anyway. So, well, come here, look.
You're going to be up for
Lancer. It's a funny one, right? For me, it's a very funny one, because obviously, like, we have to address the elephant in the room and the fact that the head coach of La Rochelle is Ron O'Gara.
I know.
And probably, like, the greatest Munster player of all time. Like, I mean, we all, to grow up, anyone from Munster has for O'Gara is just incredible. Like, so, one side of me is like, yeah, I mean, you got to back the Irish teams. Like, just like, you know, as I said, most of them play for the national team, you know, and it's a fellow province, like, but the other time it's like, oh, I love to see O'Gara get a win, like, you know.
So who are you shouting for then?
I don't know, I haven't decided yet.
See, I think the one guy who can really kill us is O'Gara. Do you know, on paper now, looking at, you know, our semi-final against Toulouse, we were sublime.
Yeah.
I watched Racing against La Rochelle, and to be honest, I think Racing were a bit, they shot themselves in the foot, like, they could have won it. Do you know, but now La Rochelle, like, absolutely, they worked their socks off, they targeted a breakdown, they got some good turnovers, but I still think Racing had enough to win it. But I just feel like Ron O'Gara is plotting. Like, we're talking about New Zealand going down under, I feel like he is going to be consumed this week and hatching a plan. And
do you think he's going to come out with something? Like, does he have something hidden up his sleeve? I wonder. First of all, before we get on to that, who do you want to win?
Well, I've just luckily know a lot of the Leinster lads, so I think my heart will be with those lads, and just they happen to be wearing Leinster jerseys, but I'll be shouting for them. And I think it's the Irish, you always got to back the Irish team. I hope La Rochelle play well, and I hope Rog puts up his hand as a coach at that top level, which he has done before. Leinster went over to play La Rochelle last year in the European Cup, and La Rochelle beat Leinster, so they have the mental edge as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What was it, 35-23?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, we're not 100% sure whether or not Tadhg Furlong's going to be fit or not yet. I think he's going to be okay, but I mean.
No, I think this is going to be key. I'm glad you brought this up, because we were obviously discussing this for the show.
As good as Leinster are and as brilliant as you are, you're going to be significantly weakened when you lose Tadhg Furlan. Like Tadhg Furlan is here, and here the rest of the tight heads in the world are here. That's how good Tadhg Furlan is.
Can we mention his pass out to Hugo Keenan?
Ah, lads, in the 30 meter pass,
it brought tears to my eyes. I was like.
He's slinging a 20 meter pass at full pace.
We've never seen anything like him. Like we've never seen a tight end like him. I don't think we will see anything like him for a long time. But as you said there, I mean, if he's out, it's huge.
Well, see, even your baseline, right? Your set piece is going to be key. I think they're going to be, it's going to be a war of attrition with T2 packs. And I think whatever pack is superior will have a big impact on the result next week. So not only what he brings in a 30 meter pass to put your fullback away, you know, your tie head is your biggest paid in your pack really, because they're so key to the scrum. So I think on a base level, and then we were chatting before the show, like Alatoa will come in, but who will be, you know, on the bench? Or will they look at maybe Porter starting and then Keane Healy coming in and moving Porter over to tie head? I don't know. I'm just concerned at who the backup is.
Just hope he'll be fit.
Well, that's, yeah, let's just pray for that.
Just hope you're fit. Looking at La Rochelle, then it looks like they're going to have Will Skelton come back in. Like, and Will Skelton is an absolute monster of a second row. Like, that can make a huge difference. He was massive against Leinster in that game where they won. He was probably the best. He got a man in the match in that game. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But did he? So,
I think so.
He's 140 kgs. Like, imagine.
And he's lost weight.
Oh my God. It's like trying to tackle two men. Like, he's incredible.
But they're missing Kerr Barlow, obviously the former All Blacks scrum half. Like, he's a big loss to them, but they still have Yaya West there at 10. So I think they're going to target, as you said, how Munster targeted Leinster up front and it worked for them. I think they're going to target Leinster up front, and they've got someone like Yaya West who can sing penalties. He's got some very important kicks in him this year in the top 14, and that's the game plan they're going to play. They've also got some good backs like as well. So I don't know. I mean. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion Leinster are going to win this.
No, I don't think so. Definitely, I think their ruck speed is so quick, and that's been key to Leinster's quick game. So I think that's another area they're going to attack, is probably try and slow the breakdown. And I'm kind of thinking, like, I think, you know, it's cliche, but Johnny Sexton will be key. And I think the forwards will be key, but I think then our backs, how we get the backs the ball. And I think if Lowe can continue on the season he's had, I think he will be key.
Yeah.
To this game next week, but I think it's not going to be down to one player. I think it's going to be a kind of knock on a series of events that, you know, someone will get the accolade of the try or whatever else. But I think also if Leinster can frustrate La Rochelle and kind of manage the game, take the penalties, you know, not always keep ball in hand, I think mix it up, it'll be better. I think Cullen and Lancaster will have to be as astute in their tactics as we think Ronagall will be in his. Yeah.
For me, if I was to have to go up against Leinster, as like Rog, like, how are we going to beat Leinster? I don't really see where Leinster have any weaknesses. But for La Rochelle, I'm like, oh, you could probably get them. Their back trees aren't that solid. You could ping balls up in the air. They're a bit weak back three. Ohio West, he's a good 10, but he's not that solid. He's a bit jump around. They're missing their 9. So there's a couple of cracks in the La Rochelle team that you could go for. But Leinster, I'm like, how do you beat Leinster?
Like, I think it'll come down to it. I mean, like, we look back at the last time Leinster won it in 2019, and then they had the 2020 dead Saracens. Yeah. And everyone thought, like, you know, it was a foregone conclusion. Leinster won it, but Saracens just came out and bullied them. Yeah. And it just got in their faces, like, and they won that game. But I think the big thing that's probably going to go against La Rochelle, I know they got to the final last year against Toulouse, but Leinster, as I said, they last won it in 2019. A lot of the guys who are playing this weekend have won it, have been there, have been to the top of the mountain. And I know it's a cliche, and it's kind of, everyone says it, like, but it's, once you've done it, it's a lot easier.
Well, you know how to win.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, winning is a habit. And
these guys are kind of going in like, oh, we lost the final last year. They lost the top 14 final last year. It's tough to come up against. And Leinster are, they're serial winners. They know how to win. And if it's a tight game and it comes down to it, like we saw the opposite with Munster the weekend, they're going to have the cool heads. They have the Johnny Sexton going, okay, relax, don't worry. We know what to do here. It's an 80-minute game.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? That's a big thing in a final, and it's going to be like, it's on in the Stade Velodrome in Marseille. I think it's 65,000, 66,000 I'm heading over myself, and there's a couple of little lads coming over from Joe, and they're trying to get flights over and stuff, and there's no flights back into Dublin at the moment. They're all sold out. So I have my flight already, thankfully, but if that's the case, like, I'd love to know, like, there must be 30,000-40,000 Leinster fans traveling, lads. So that's going to be huge.
It is going to be huge. And do you know what's funny? there's something different about Leinster this year with this fifth star. Like, they want it. And actually, I was doing a leadership course through RPI. And on one of them...
They have enough room for fights.
I think they do. We might just, you
know... looking a bit bare now with the old two at the moment.
We might loan his one if he's struggling still in the next couple of seasons. But actually, Ryan Baird brought up an example, and he actually mentioned the fifth star. Like, it was a kind of random example he was bringing up, but I remember it sticking to me going, like, this is weeks out. You haven't even kind of reached, you know... I think they must have got through the quarters against Leicester, but I was like, just in a random leadership course on a Tuesday night in a Zoom, and his example was, no, we have set our goal as the fifth star. And I just seen that against Toulouse with the speed. And I think, yeah, I'm just not sure they will be beaten. I know it's hard to see them, but I just think there's something different about them. And I think they've managed their players very well, which again is testament to their depth of squad.
Something to aim for, like, isn't it? But I think that's all we've got time for, guys.
Yeah,
it's good to be back, Lindsay, wasn't it?
It was great to be back. A great show as always.
It was a great chat. Really enjoyed it. Now, hopefully, Leinster get the win next week and bring the European Cup back to Ireland. And hopefully, the London Sevens goes well for the men and women. And also, a big thank you to our partners, Bank of Ireland, proud supporters of the four Irish provinces.
And just to let our lovely listeners and viewers know, we won't be recording until Monday next week. So you will have to wait an extra day to hear our lovely voices and look at our beautiful faces. Thanks a million, guys.
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.